Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
We're going to celebrate communion. I want to talk a little bit about why we eat this bread and why we drink this juice, this fruit of the vine. Why do we do that? And what does it mean? And where did it originate? Where did it come from? I want to talk a little bit about that this morning so that taking communion and celebrating communion never becomes just some ritual or some religious thing and tradition that we do, but that it means something and we understand more about it. And what's it supposed to mean to me today? So I want to talk a little bit about that. In Exodus chapter 12, I'm going to read a few verses. I might paraphrase some and give a little bit of a historic view or so you kind of jump into a story, because I don't know if everybody's familiar with this. God's people were living in Egypt, and they were slaves to the Egyptians at this point in history. And of course, God's people, the Hebrews, they were calling out to God diligently, all the time, constantly. You know, send us a deliverer. Send us somebody who can get us out of slavery. And generations were going by, and they were born into slavery. Some of them died as a slave. And the next generation, it just kind of kept going for for these hundreds of years. And so along comes a deliverer that God raises up. Really, God's the deliverer, but he's using, you know, humanity as he does. And he raises up a man named Moses. Now, I'm going to ask this, and I ask this, you know, kind of regularly. Not like every week, but, you know, a few times a year. You could get a panoramic view of this if you ever watch the movie The Ten Commandments. I mean the old one with Charlton Heston. Okay? And how many of you have never seen that movie? It's okay. You've never seen this movie. Okay. Put your hand up. Hold it high as if you were proud. Okay. I got to take a break from the message here for a second. If you have never watched the Ten Commandments, you have to watch. Now, it's not all biblically straight, but it's going to give you a good view, okay, of kind of what happened and what it went through. Now, and I'll tell you, the special effects are unbelievable. You're going to probably laugh at some of them because you're used to this culture and all the cinematography and special effects. But for that day and age, I mean, hey, it was phenomenal. So, remembering, you're watching an old movie. I will tell you this, that you will need a rather large bowl of popcorn, because it's a long movie. I'm just telling you right now. You can't do one of these, oh, it's an hour and a half. It's just a little longer than that. Okay. So, you know, all of you who raised your hands, now I'd like you to raise your hand one more time. Please, just one more time, entertain me. Take this vow, I promise, to watch the Ten Commandments. I know we're live streaming, you don't have to shoot the front row or anything. Rockwell, you married this lovely lady, Jenna. You're going to be having a child together in just a few weeks, right? Don't you think, Rockwell, that it would just be the right thing as the priest of your home, put your foot down, say, woman? No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. I'm telling you, at that point, the anointing will leave you. that your family, this child, the mother of this child should watch the Ten Commandments? Yes. Jenna, big bowl of popcorn, extra butter, salt. He will make it. He will bring it to you. He will push play. He will rub your feet. That's after you make the popcorn. Okay. You need to have like a family date night and watch the Ten Commandments. If you can't do it all in one evening, you know, it's a great two-parter. I'm telling you, you got to watch the Ten Commandments. I mean, we only get to heaven by faith through Jesus Christ, but, you know, I think at the gate they're going to ask. I don't know. Anyhow, in the Bible, it's the second book of the Bible. It's called Exodus, and it's named after this Exodus. See, God's people were in slavery to the Egyptians, and they wanted out of slavery. Hello, don't we all? We want to be free. So, I'm just going to jump in, and you're going to have to kind of piece this together, go back and read it, or watch the movie. Watch the movie. So, Exodus, chapter 12, verse 11, it's partway through verse 11, it says this. It's the Lord's Passover. Now, you probably heard of Passover. If not, you're going to hear about it now. The Lord says, I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, animals. And all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments, for I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over, say it, Passover, Passover, pass over you, and no plague will befall you or destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now, I want you, I'm going to piece this together. When it talks about the blood, okay, they were supposed to take the blood of a lamb, and they were supposed to, on that night, where the Lord was going to, you know, bring the judgment against Egypt and the gods of Egypt and all those that opposed God and God's people. And all who believed in God would take this blood of the Lamb and wipe it on their doorposts, okay? And kind of on the threshold of where you walk. And that blood would be a sign to God to pass over that house and don't bring destruction or judgment on that household. So that's what's going on here. So this plague, there were 10 plagues. This was the 10th one, okay? And this was on the eve of when Pharaoh was going to let the slaves, Hebrew children, go. He was going to let them go free. There was a process to all this that God did miraculous things. So here is this Passover. So after this happened for the first time, okay, every year they would have a Feast of Unleavened Bread. And I don't want to get too caught up in all these other details, but they would celebrate Passover, where they would remember back the bitterness of their slavery and what God did for them in setting them free, and the blood of the Lamb, which was for basically for forgiveness and wouldn't hold sin against them. Now, as we're sitting here today, we say, well, not back then, but boy, if I could have God pass over me and not bring judgment on my life, destruction upon me. I mean, I was born to great parents, but, you know, they've sinned, you know. I talked to a young gal here this morning. I said, and she's with her parents. I said, so, they being nice to you? She said, well, you can kind of bring it up in front of everybody. I'm not going to do that. She said, yeah, they're being nice to her. See, she was born to nice parents. But let me ask you, hon, as wonderful as your parents are, have you ever noticed that they ever did anything wrong? Oh, yeah, it didn't take you long. Right here in front of them, would you share the top three things? No, I'm kidding. Listen, we're born to great parents, but, you know, they did stuff wrong. They've sinned. I was born into sin. As wonderful a family and heritage as I have, I was still born to sinners. Therefore, I is one. You are one. And I need forgiveness from God before I ever even got to the point of making a choice to do anything wrong. Because I was born into sin. So I need forgiveness. I need a Savior. I need someone to deliver me from the slavery of sin. In fact, Paul writes in the book of Romans in chapter 3, all have sinned and what? Fall short of God's glory. In other words, here's the standard. And we all fall short. So how do we meet the standard? I'm not good enough. I can't jump high enough. I just can't do it on my own. And as gifted and as wonderful as you are, you can't either. We all fall short. That's what the scripture says. And then in chapter 6, it says the wages of sin is death. Boy, if I could have him pass over me and not bring judgment and destruction, if I could find that kind of grace and mercy and favor and forgiveness with God, I'd really like that. Well, there's only one way that we enter into this Passover, and that is by having the blood, remember, the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost and threshold of my life or upon my life. Upon my household. Well, Jesus is known as the Lamb of God. In fact, John the Baptist, when he sees Jesus, he says it out loud. He says, behold. In other words, not like, oh, behold. It was, behold, wake up, look. It's this alarming statement. It is this loud statement. It is to get our attention. And the people who were there said, behold. As he looked at Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb. See, when we put faith in Christ, who died on a cross and spilt his blood, we put faith in him. It is taking that blood he spilt, putting it on our life, and through it, he paid for my sin, the sin I was born into. And judgment passes over me because he paid for my sin and he bought me with that price. He bought you with that price. You belong to him. You belong to him. And so Passover, this Passover, we find now in the New Testament was celebrated and honored. It was remembered what people went through, what God did for them. They honor Passover. They acknowledge the blood of the Lamb and many other things that are part of that Passover celebration, the Passover dinner. Well, if we were to go fast forward now into the Gospels or into the New Testament, you'll find that like in Matthew 26, Jesus is with his disciples and it's coming time for the Passover and the disciples ask, where are we going to celebrate Passover? Where are we going to do like we do every year, like we grew up, where we go back and we remember, even though we weren't there, we remember what my lineage, what my parents and generations before them went through, and we honor what God did for his people and brought them out of slavery. Into the promised land. Into a promise. They said, Jesus, man, it's going to be Passover here. Where are we going to celebrate this? What are we going to do? And Jesus gives them instruction. They go into the city and a couple of them begin to prepare Passover. And the reason they could do that is they understood Passover. They've celebrated it all their life. And so they're preparing for this Passover dinner. And then it comes time. Jesus and the other disciples join them. And they're having this Passover dinner. And then Jesus, right in the middle, right in the middle of Passover dinner, he introduces some new statements. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm gonna take a moment, and I'm gonna read this to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul writes, he says, this is what happened. This is what Jesus and his disciples did, and this is what Jesus said. There, right in Passover, Jesus shares this. When he had given thanks, he took the bread and he broke it, which that wasn't uncommon at Passover. But then he said this. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. This bread. He tears it, you know, giving thanks for it. And he says, you take and eat this. This bread represents my body. And after supper, he takes a cup, fruit of the vine. And he says, and this has never been said before, he said, this cup is a new covenant. And this cup represents my blood. The bread represents his body. The cup represents his blood. And he starts to talk about remembering him because he's going to give himself up. Now, in John chapter 6, listen to this when Jesus is speaking. He says some interesting things here. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in him has eternal life. And Jesus says this, I am the bread of life. Now connect this. He says, I'm the bread of life. Remember, at Passover, he tears this bread. He says, this bread represents my body, which is broken for you. He says, I say to you, whoever believes, whoever has faith in him has eternal life. I am the bread of that life. Your fathers, he begins to tell them, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died. In other words, physical bread. They ate it and they still died. But those who believe in the bread of life, it says this bread who's come down from heaven, if they eat of it, they will not die. Not like this physical bread that you and I eat. There's a bread here that talks about eternal life. He says, I am that living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. So he's telling them, listen, whoever eats my flesh will live forever. I mean, this is how they're looking at it. This is how the crowd starts to look at it. And they've got like, whoa, wait a minute. Jesus, we were following you. You had a great crowd. We watched you feed thousands of people with a few fish and some loaves of bread. And man, we're amazed at the miracles you do and the teaching you do. But then he starts to tell them, listen, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they go, whoa. This, what? We have laws against that stuff. Look at this. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus says to them, truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I abide in that person. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate who died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. And this was a hard teaching for them because they were taking this literal about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And they're missing the point. He's saying there's physical bread that was provided your forefathers, bread that we all eat, that they ate. And you know what? We're going to die someday. But Jesus is talking about believing in him, and he's going to give his body over, and he's going to bleed on a cross. And that if we put faith in him, we believe in this broken body, we believe in his blood for the forgiveness of sin, that this is a new covenant, then when judgment comes, it will pass over us. Because we believe in him and his blood is applied to our life. See, the only work that you and I have to do to get to heaven, because we fall short of his glory, the only work that we have to do is believe in him. Because Jesus is the one who did the work on the cross. So this Passover in Old Testament history and what God did was true and it's real and it needs to be recognized and honored, but it's only a foretelling of what was to come. That Jesus is the bread of heaven and he is going to be the Lamb of God and he is going to die as a guilty man, though he's innocent and without sin. His pure and perfect blood is the only blood that can meet the demand of judgment. And those who believe in him apply that blood to their life. You see, we find out in the very beginning of the Bible that there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. You go back to Adam and Eve, they committed sin, and what happened? God had an animal slain and provided them clothing from that animal. It took blood to cover sin. That has never changed. It's still the same. The only way that I find forgiveness is through the pure blood of Jesus Christ. I can't pay for my sins. I mean, I could pay for them, but my blood isn't going to get me forgiveness because my blood's tainted. I was born into sin. I'm sinful. I have sinful blood. But if I put faith in Christ and apply his blood to my life by believing in him, by eating his flesh, drinking his blood, in other words, participating with faith in what he has done and believing. I apply this blood to me. And when judgment comes, he passes over me because the Father saw the blood of his Son on my life because I have faith, because I believed. Think about this. Not too hard, not too heavy, not too long. But think about your history. Can you recall something that you did that was sinful, wrong? Something you did maybe out of resentment or hurt? And you felt justified because they hurt you or did something wrong? Or maybe nobody did anything wrong to you, but you did some evil or you had some scheming or some jealousy in your heart and so you misrepresented somebody or talked about somebody or maybe you stole. Maybe you got tied up and you were an addict and you addicted to something. Whatever your history has. Maybe you committed adultery. Whatever. How would you like to be forgiven of that? How would you like to be forgiven of everything? That it wouldn't be held against you. You see, the wages of those sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That judgment and destruction will pass over you. Somebody else paid for it. He did. Now, it doesn't mean that I can keep doing stuff wrong and keep sinning and say, hey, well, Jesus forgave me. Paul writes about that. We don't continue in sin that his grace should abound more. It's that we're supposed to make good on this grace given to us and that he helps us now live a life that has been marked by his blood and changed. You see, there's a difference. Remember now, the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, went through this Passover because they were going to be set free, no longer slaves to the Egyptians. You see, when we put faith in Christ and we are marked with his blood for the forgiveness of our sin, we are now being set free to be the person God has called us to be, the person we should become, and we are set free from being a slave to sin and our former life. I mean, if that's not possible, then none of us have any hope. But Jesus made it possible. And that's what communion is about. It's pausing and saying, you set the Hebrew people free from slavery by the blood. Now, through Jesus, his blood, I can be set free from being a slave to sin, a slave to my resentment that it controls how I feel and how I think and how I treat people and how I make decisions, that I can be free from the addictions. I can be free from how the patterns of my thinking that I've developed through life because I've become a product of all my hurt and injury and brokenness and anger and whatever else has gone on back there. I've become the product of that. And so therefore, though I think I am controlling me and I'm taking charge, really what's happened is I'm a product of the past and I have become a slave to that way of thinking. But now, if I put faith in Christ and my past is forgiven because he passes over me because of the blood of Jesus, now I can be free from thinking like that and doing like that anymore. And he will bring me into his promise of a new life. See, it's what he did. He took the Hebrew children out of slavery and brought them to a promised land and a new life. It's only a foretelling of what's to come. And Jesus came, gave his life, the Lamb of God, spilt his blood. And if I will eat of the bread of heaven, I will have eternal life. Judgment will pass over me because he already paid for it, and he will bring me into the promise of a brand new life. See, that's how the Old Testament and the New Testament fit together. It's what God, what people went through and struggled, and how God answered and how God brought them along. And then to bring the completion of salvation through the sending of his Son, because he wanted to get personal with us, with people. And that he has made a way for you, a way for me, to escape eternal judgment because he paid for it. Because there's no other way I can get out of it. You'll know this scripture. God so loved the world, you, me, that he gave his only Son, that whosoever is everybody who's here, anybody who's not here, who still has breath in them, whosoever, it says, believes in him, shall not perish under judgment, but will have eternal life. That's what communion's about. It's remembering who Jesus is, what he's done, and how through time it still affects me relevant in my life today and in all the tomorrows he will give me. And the beautiful thing about the blood is it's not only about forgiveness, it's about launching us and empowering us into a promise and into a different life. History doesn't have to repeat itself. The stuff in your past doesn't have to come around again. And it doesn't have to play out the same way. There's a brand new life through faith in Christ. It's leaving the old ways and discovering, with his help, how to live free. How do I live now? What do I get to talk about now with people? Because before, all we talked about is other people and what hurt and what they did and what they said and all this luggage and baggage I bring with me. Now, that stays in the slavery life. It doesn't go with me into the new life. And we discover how to live this new life. It's learning new ways of thinking, new ways of living. I want you to hear loud and clear that Jesus has been for you all along and wants you and I to recognize that this blood of the Lamb has power for the forgiveness of sin and a power to bring us to a brand new life. We grow up in a culture that is so based upon performance. What we did we work hard enough? Did we work long enough? Did we do this? Did we do that? Did we do this? And oh, you didn't meet the standard. Sorry, you know, you took seventh place and we get, you know, oh, but the people who got first place, oh, yay. And if you didn't take first, you're not recognized and you weren't good enough. That's not how we make heaven. It was based upon the performance of Jesus. And he did it. And he opens a doorway for you and I to be free, not be slaves any longer, to guilt, condemnation, and the stuff that's been done to us and how we feel about it. He breaks us free. Our mind might remember what went on, but now we are developing a new pattern and a new life through faith in Christ and the forgiveness and walk into a life that's brand new. Different than our past. I love when I get to sit and talk with some of you here and people who said, you know, I came to faith in Christ. I had no idea that another life was even possible than what I've known. I had no idea that there was a love like this. I had no idea that I could have friendships like this. I had no idea that I could actually be free from guilt. I had no idea that there was a way for me to live a life that now I forgave people instead of thinking I'm proving something by holding something against them. And the reality was I was just a slave to that. It mastered me. It's what controlled me. Now to live a life where I have forgiven people that I thought I could never forgive. Whew. Wow, frees me up to become the person and to live the life that I could barely dream of ever having. It still has challenges, but that's what faith is for. Now we got someone to walk with us through it and coach us through it, and we get to see how great he is. See, that's what communion's about. It's remembering what he did to get you and I out of being a slave to sin. Well, this is the point where you smile at the person next to you and go, wow, this is really great news. Yeah, this is really great news. I mean, listen, you can't go anywhere else and get this. You can't have a doctor write a prescription for this and then go, you know, have your insurance plan pay for it or the government pay for it and you do a little copay thing. You can't get this anywhere. You can't subscribe to this. This is about looking at Jesus and saying, do I see the Lamb of God? And his blood is powerful enough to forgive me and launch me into a new life.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.